And now, on to listener letters. Every Thursday, we read your emails and listen to your voicemail messages for your feedback on topics discussed on News and Notes. One topic that received quite a few responses was our discussion of the upcoming mayoral election in New Orleans. The vote is currently scheduled for April 22nd, but many people have said it should be postponed until more residents have returned to the city or until out-of-state polling places have been established. Anne Klein of Detroit, Michigan writes, "Your roundtable discussion about the upcoming election in New Orleans was interesting. My opinion is that any displaced person could ask for an absentee ballot and vote that way. This is not such a burden for someone who loves their city. New Orleans has not moved, and it would be easier for the displaced person to contact the Election Bureau than for the Election Bureau to find each displaced person, some of whom may not even be interested in voting or coming back to the city. I do believe they could extend the time frame for mailing in the ballots, but I do not feel it's too much to ask a displaced resident to write a letter and ask for a ballot. If a citizen really cares about their city, then they will spend 39 cents to get a ballot." Listener Donald Owens of Baltimore, Maryland disagrees and thinks the government should do more to help the city's residents vote.
It's just appalling, and it's just so simplistic that we as a country just seem to make an issue out of everything, that we don't understand the magnitude of what has happened to those people in New Orleans, that the Federal Voting Commission would have the audacity to limit the voting for the mayor, whether it be the mayor or dog catcher, just to those folks left in New Orleans. It's almost criminal.
Daniel Dodson of St. Louis, Missouri, sent us an email regarding a roundtable discussion of the Illinois Hate Crimes Commission. Several members of the commission resigned after a Nation of Islam member was appointed to the panel. Some guests on our roundtable suggested the members should have stayed on the panel, despite the appointment. Mr. Dodson writes, "There seemed to be a half-joking understanding that the members should have stuck it out, no matter how racist the Nation of Islam is, and that they were somehow betraying the intent of the committee itself. I only wonder if the panel's views would have been different if the member in question were part of the KKK or white power movement. I suppose the quitting members would have simply been viewed as standing up for their principles in that case." John Washburn of Greensboro, North Carolina, wrote to us about an audio essay by S. Pearl Sharp on her visit to the grave of Harriet Tubman. In his email, he writes, "I was deeply moved as I listened to S. Pearl Sharp's The Lasting Legacy of Harriet Tubman while driving home alone last Friday night. Sharing her emotional experience at the gravesite of Harriet Tubman, Ms. Sharp raised with great honor and respect Tubman's spirit, the Moses of the Underground Railroad. I have made many journeys to the graves of great and inspiring people. Each visit is very personal and profound." He also writes, "I too visited Fort Hill Cemetery on a beautiful fall day last November. Due to time restraints, I was unable to find the graves of Harriet Tubman and William H. Seward, President Abraham Lincoln's Secretary of State. Thank you, Ms. Sharp, for completing my journey." We appreciate all of your comments. Good or bad, we want to hear from you, so please keep them coming. You can call us at 202-408-3330. That's 202-408-3330. Or you can email us. Log on to npr.org and click on Contact Us. And please be sure to tell us where you're writing from and how to pronounce your name.